And then we come to Sardis. Now we believe that since this church we just read about represents pretty well the Catholic system, this seems to represent Protestantism, and we can say little better about it, if anything. Under the angel church in Sardis, the word Sardis means prince of joy. It also means escaping. There has been some joy in Protestantism, and many of the Protestants did escape. Brother Kuntz told me a story one time. I won't vouch for its truthfulness, but there was a church. There had been a big revival meeting in the community, and several people withdrew from the church. And one day the pastor got up and announced, "The doors of the church are closed. Nobody else can withdraw." And a long while afterwards, after the excitement, after the revival had settled down, well, he got up and said, "He's going to open the doors of the church today, and anybody that wanted to enter could do so." And an elderly man grabbed his hat and got right up in the line, and well, he said, "Brother so-and-so, you've been in the church for years." He said, "I don't want in either. First time I've caught the doors open, sometime I want out." Many escaped, and there was a joy in it. There was a relief and a release. "These things saith he that hath the seven spirits of God and the seven stars," a different word than the first one. There he holds the seven stars. Here he just hath them, a lighter word. "I know thy works, that thou hast a name that thou livest and art dead." One, I think it was Ruth Thacker, I'm not sure, Ruth Qualls now, when I was compiling Brother Copley's life story, wrote me a letter. Brother Copley was with the Evangelicals for a number of years, was ordained among them. And she told of one of her relatives in late years that attended a funeral in this denomination, and she said it was very much like a Catholic funeral. They have a name that they live, but there's a deadness there. "Be watchful and strengthen the things which remain that are ready to die, for I have not found thy works perfect before God." Again, I call attention to the fact that this is Protestantism. "I know thy works, but they're certainly not completed before God. Remember, therefore, how thou hast received and heard, and hold fast and repent. If therefore thou shalt not watch, I will come on thee as a thief, and thou shalt not know what hour I will come upon thee." Jesus taught this in Matthew 24 and also in Thessalonians. Paul taught it in Thessalonians 5. Here's the only commendation. "Thou hast a few names even in Sardis which have not defiled their garments, and they shall walk with me in white, for they are worthy. Now he that overcometh, the same shall be clothed in white raiment." Walking with him in white, clothed in white raiment, is the only reward that is offered here, and this belongs to the least of the children of God. It doesn't speak of much of a reward. Now you think of this, in the church we just read about, Jezebel was ruling. In this church, we have something different. In Protestantism, we have the state churches. You know what that is, don't you? Like the King of England or the Queen is the defender of the faith, and lots of times they don't have faith themselves. Well, that's what we have in Protestantism. They claim to protect the faith, but the church state, the church the boss, and the state the boss, they're both deadly wrong. The world cannot become the church. The church shouldn't become the world. There are those that look at water baptism, look to it alone, and then think of the different ways, those that sprinkle, the Methodists, the Episcopalians, and then think of the Salvation Army that eliminated everything. They don't have water baptism or the Lord's Supper. And you remember a few years ago the great discussion over the president's daughter when she switched from this church to this church, President Johnson's daughter in the 60s. And I told you about the Baptist preacher in Denver that preached, announced through the Denver Post, he was going to preach on Sunday morning, changing labels on empty bottles. What does it matter what label is on a bottle if it's an empty bottle? She belonged to this church. She's going to switch to another one. The promise here is partly negative. The Protestants have established creeds and defined boundaries and have become friends with their old enemies in the presence of a common foe. The Catholics speak tenderly of the Protestants as keeping alive the belief in creeds and look forward to their return to the fold, while the scarlet woman, drunk with the blood of the saints, is not treated by the Protestants as she's now treated as an elderly sister and valued as an ally in the war with infidelity. The points of difference are forgotten. The points of union are passively dwelt upon. The remnant of idolatry denounced are now regarded as having been providentially preserved as a means of making up the quarrel. Sad, isn't it? Isn't it sad when we become so indifferent? I heard a young preacher say last year at a fellowship meeting, and I thought it was rather cute. He said, if drunkenness and gluttony were not put together, I'd really jump on the drunkards. Well, I was talking to a man that I knew. He pastored a large Baptist church in Oklahoma. He had married a girl that I went to school with, and I went to see them one time. And I can remember when his church was way out away from a certain denomination that put all of their stress on water baptism. And I said to him, I don't believe that the people in that church are really saved. Well, he said, I used to feel that way, but I don't feel that way anymore. It all depends with them. It's not doctrine because, and I'm saying with him, I don't mean with them. It's not doctrine because God taught it. It's whatever is most convenient at this particular time. And so Sardis is another picture of how Christendom has failed. Isn't it interesting that only God can sustain people in the truth and sustain the truth in people? Truth can be given up for various reasons. Discouragement. What's the use? I'm lonesome. I want fellowship. Tired standing alone. And he says, he that overcometh, the same shall be clothed in white raiment. I will not blot out his name out of the book of life, but I will confess his name before my Father and before his angels. Many people find this to imply that he will blot out names. Well, it was a time when the Protestants began to protest. They were blotted out by the professing church. But God said, I won't blot you out. Then to the church at Philadelphia. What a great church Philadelphia turns out to be. I will call your attention to this church for just a moment. First, the word for brother in Greek is adelphos. The word for funds, the word that for love that grows is phileo. So here we put these two words together and they come out Philadelphia. And then I call your attention to this. Quickly take these texts, if you will. Somebody speak up. Hebrews 13:1, 1 Peter 1:22, 2 Peter 1:7, Romans 12:10, 1 Thessalonians 4:9. Read Romans 12:10 if you have it. Brotherly love. Now, if you had the Greek before you, it would say with Philadelphia. Read 1 Thessalonians 4:9. This is the word Philadelphia again. Hebrews 13:1. One man said, let brotherly love begin. 1 Peter 1:22. 1 Peter 1:7. 2 Peter, I said 1 Peter, I meant 2 Peter. This word brotherly kindness is Philadelphia. The word charity is a different word for love, agape. If you noticed, you read that word about seven times, I believe. Around 1939 or 40, I heard Sister Bodie preach on that from those seven occurrences. But I just wanted to throw that in. As a noun, this is the only place it occurs in Revelation. But then these other places. Now, there is a city, there was a town by this name over in what we call Jordan. But this particular city that we're reading about was in Asia. This is one of the seven churches of Asia that Jesus was writing to. And now back to our lesson in the third chapter of the book of Revelation. Now, this church, we believe that this church is the church represented of those that will be alive and overcoming when Jesus comes. We'll point this out as we go along. Now, Smyrna and Philadelphia have several things in common. One is there was no fault found with either church. Another point in common is that they're the only two churches that are promised crowns. And we feel that the first, Smyrna, is the suffering martyr church. It speaks of those who died in full victory through the years and will come up in the first rank resurrection. Philadelphia, another church found without fault, to whom a crown is promised, they speak of those who will be alive and full overcomers when Jesus comes. Here there is no persecution. You see, persecution kind of forces us to be for or against. I could wish at times, I don't wish for persecution, but I could wish there was something to make things be more clear cut. Are you a Christian? Yes. Well, have you really been saved? Well, no, really, but I'm in the pale of the church. I belong to the church. There are two towns. Denver is quite a little more clear-cut than most people, and somebody told me that San Francisco is quite a bit so. Well, to the angel of the church at Philadelphia write, "These things saith he that is holy, he that is true." How important it is to be true. Holy, Christ has made unto us wisdom, righteousness, sanctification, and redemption. Revelation 15, only thou art holy. And he's true as the true witness. Balaam was false. The church has proven false. But Jesus is the true vine, the true God, the true bread, and the true light. And incidentally, did anything but truth ever fall from his lips? Did Jesus ever speak an untruth? He couldn't, could he? "I am the truth," he said. Not just "I speak truth," "I am the truth." And he has the key of David. This comes from Isaiah 22. "I will lay upon him the key of David." It speaks of authority. In the book of Revelation, he has the key of David, the key of death, and the key of hell. And he said to Peter, "I will give you the keys of the kingdom." He has the key of the bottomless pit. According to the ninth chapter, it will be given to Satan for a while. The house of David speaks of royal authority. Notice he doesn't say to this church, "I have this against thee." He doesn't say, "Remember how thou hast fallen, repent. Everything was right here. I know thy works, and I've set before thee an open door," perhaps in the sense of service. But we believe also that it will be an open door to translation. There will come a time when that door will be shut. We believe in Matthew 25 that we have this. I believe the 144,000 are the last translation. After that, those that go to heaven will be those that have been martyred, as I feel that the beast overcomers of the 15th chapter will be a martyr group. Service or translation, a little strength. Nothing of this is said to any of the other churches. Small in the eyes of the world. I heard a man say one time, and I do not know how he knew I was a preacher. He said, as big a risk as to finance as a church. And then he turned and said, "No reflections on you, preacher." They hadn't welcomed Jezebel into this church. And nobody climbing the social ladder here. Nobody with a lot of goods. But then a little strength. If you have Christ in his fullness, you don't need much, do you? Don't need much strength. Just a little bit. Then he said elsewhere, "My strength is made perfect in weakness." It's kind of a strength that people don't like. Kept my word. Giving the Bible its rightful place in the heart and in the conscience is very important in the Christian life. The only true source for doctrine and practice is the Word of God. If you come to me, I can talk to you, but I'll give you nothing that's worthwhile unless I give it to you from the Word of God. The Word received without reservation. I'll go this far with you, but that's as far as I'll go. That's reservation. Not as given by Jezebel or Balaam, not the indifference of the Sardians. The Bible, not defined in human creeds. It's Christ's word, his authority owned as the sole authority. And I would ask you the question, what is worthy to come between you and the Word of God? What authority, what man, what system, what institution, or what traditions, even good ones? And do you feel that we can afford to be personally ignorant of the Word of God? Should it be the Word of God as filtered through the thoughts of others? Now, I appreciate my books, and I appreciate those that have gone before me and those that have done research, but I also appreciate the Bible as such. I had some other things written down here, if I could run on to them. I knew a preacher that was always saying, "Now, everybody get your pencil out. Anything that's truth is still in the Bible, whether you remember what I say or not. It's still there." And to this church, Christ himself is revealed, not something about him. Here, he was at home and delighted in and worshiped. Quite a difference. When Paul wrote to some churches, he could open his heart, like to the Ephesians. To the Corinthians, he said, "I couldn't speak to you. I had to speak to you as babes. You weren't able to bear it." Jesus said, "I have many things to say to you, but you're not able to bear them." And so Christ is, well, he can manifest himself in some places, in some things. Well, it's just like the difference in this church and the others. The other churches receive something. Those in this church that overcame became something. That's quite a difference. Than if I would give you a $100 bill or make you an executive in the company. Quite a difference, isn't there? You haven't denied my name. You remember how Peter had never heard of him. He didn't know what they were talking about. The power in the name, the joy in the name. This morning, some of the ladies met at our church, and there was a woman there. She had swallowed something, and it stuck right here. And she said, very disagreeable, and she couldn't eat or anything, and she asked us to pray. And she said, well, you may not have the gift of healing, but you can pray the prayer of faith. Now, the power in the name of Jesus, that precious name, back of that name is all power. All power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Haven't denied my name. These two churches had the same enemy, the synagogue of Satan. Kept the word of my patience, waiting for his kingdom to be set up, waiting for something that's in the future. The book of Hebrews, the 11th chapter, speaks of those that waited. And Luke speaks of bringing forth fruit with patience. With patience wait for it, James said. Strengthened with all power unto all patience and long-suffering, who through faith and patience inherit the promises. Let us run with patience. Let patience have her perfect work. You kept the word of my patience. It has to do with his coming. Now, you may be disappointed that the Lord doesn't come, but don't be discouraged that he doesn't come. Keep looking. I often think of Brother Copley's last quoted text, that you may abound in hope. Have lots of it around you. Then, because, well, thou hast kept the word of my patience, keep thee from the hour of temptation that shall come upon all the world to try those that dwell on the earth. The word keep means to guard by keeping the eye upon. It means to fulfill a command, to withhold for personal ends. Figuratively, it means to keep unmarried. And then from, this Greek preposition is ek. We all know what it is. Ek or ex, like an exit, ex-sheriff. It means out. I will keep you out. A procession out of the interior. The hour of temptation, which will come upon all the world to try those that dwell on the earth, will be the hour of tribulation. And notice, not kept and preserved through it. Not those that keep my works to the end. I keep you out of it. Taken out, not from trial as such, but from a particular season of trial. Then I trust that you don't say, my Lord delayeth his coming. That no man take thy crown, and man may cause you to lose your crown and still not wear it. This word crown is the crown of a victor. It's not the crown of an emperor, not a ruler of an empire or a king. That word is used in Revelation 2. It's more like the word diadem. This is Stephanus, where we get the word Stephen. And in the Olympic Games, sometimes they used pine needles to make a crown. Paul said they receive a corruptible crown. Sometimes they used even parsley, can you quite imagine? And sometimes other things. But it was a noted victory that somebody had gained. He had won in the races, in the wrestling, in the boxing. Paul must knew them well because he refers to them so often. We wrestle not. Run with patience the race that is set before us, and not as one that beateth the air. And three times he uses the word course. When John finished his course, I have finished the course. A race course, of course. So it's winning a crown. Then to them, he mentions again, now here his coming is mentioned to this church. Him that overcometh will I make a pillar in the temple of my God. All of you, I think, have been down at the big Union Depot at some time or another here. Remember the pillars? And at the Nelson Art Gallery, remember the big pillars, the big supports? I think of these because they're outstanding. Now, there's a pillar right there behind Brother Feller's. Another one back there. Well, they're not very decorative, but you take them out and you run into trouble. Well, there's something that supports. Paul speaks of John and James and Cephas, who seem to be pillars. And he spoke of the church as the pillar and ground of the truth. And the only place where the word behave, I think, refers in the Bible, that thou mayest know how thou oughtest to behave thyself in the house of God, which is the church of the living God, pillar and ground of the truth, the support of the truth. I'll make him a temple, a pillar in the temple of my God. And it will be a permanent thing. He shall go no more out. I will write upon him the name of my God. That is, it will be manifest that they belong to God. They're his children. And then I will write upon him the name of the city of my God. I have met people from certain parts of the world and recognized them where they came from because of their speech. Well, I think it'll be manifest to the universe where these people belong. They belong to the New Jerusalem. You might meet a German, a Mexican, an Italian, know them by their language or their customs, but this group of saints, it will be known that they're from the New Jerusalem, which cometh down out of heaven from my God. I will write upon him my new name, which is possibly bridegroom. Only three times or four is this applied to him. The time will come when the bridegroom shall be taken from them. John said the friend of the bridegroom rejoiceth that he heareth the voice of the bridegroom. My joy, therefore, is fulfilled. So this may be his new name. The marriage of the Lamb is come, and his wife hath made herself ready, we read in Revelation 19. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith to the churches. And then we come to a place that sometimes would make us cry, Laodicea. Unto the angel of the church at Laodicea, the Laodiceans write, These things saith the Amen. To the promises of God, according to Corinthians 1, 2 Corinthians, Jesus is the Amen. And it occurs in the Old Testament. It is transliterated each time literally. It's spelled the same way in Hebrew, in Greek, and English. In the Hebrew, it's Amen. I think in Greek, it's Amen. And it comes out A-M-E-N, and in Hebrew, this was called to my attention years ago. No, that's a different word. It's the word truth, but very much related. It's made up of the first and middle and last letters of the Hebrew alphabet. Laodicea, rights of the people. It was named for a king's wife. Her name was Laodicea. And there was this, the one that's the Amen. Then he's the faithful and true witness, which she hadn't been. The beginning of the creation of God, the beginning of new creation, which they evidently were not. It doesn't mean he was the first thing that God created, as some people have taught. God's Son wasn't created. I heard a preacher say from the pulpit one time that God spoke and created his Son. It deeply disgusted me to think that somebody would be preaching and know that little bit about the Bible. The Son of God is eternal. That means he never had a beginning. There are three states here. I know thy works. Let's say there are three states. There's a hot state and a cold state and a carnal state. Lukewarm. Cold is totally indifferent. Lukewarm is somebody that tries to balance between Christ and the world. Great religious leaders of today are satisfied with their wealth and their accomplishments. I went to my office one time, heart sick. Billy Graham was holding a revival meeting in Denver. And the mayor was a dyed-in-the-wool Catholic. And through the paper, Billy Graham said, that outstanding Christian gentleman, your mayor. He confirmed that man from both sides. The Catholic said, you're all right. The Protestant leader said, you're all right. And I confess to you that after I read the paper in the house, I walked over to my office with just kind of a sick heart. The word translated hot means boiling. Remember the disciples that said, did not our hearts burn within us while he opened to us the scriptures? Romans 12:11 says fervent in spirit. I don't like Moffat. He was a modernist, but he translates that, retain a spiritual glow. You've heard the song that has in it the phrase, all that thrills my soul is Jesus. The enemies at this church were all on the inside. A very sad and a deplorable thing when the enemies of the church are on the inside. A very hard condition to correct. Now, I don't mean when a church is fighting among itself. As long as they're fighting, you remember Andrew Lou? A Catholic said to him one time, you Protestants fight all the time. He said, you never hear of any fights in our church. And he said, you never hear of a fight in the graveyard. Well, it wasn't that kind of trouble. It was like a bunch of worms admiring each other. Everybody approved each other. Nobody disapproved anything. Everything was just right. The Lord said when he said, I will spew you out, it means I will vomit. They said, I am rich, grown rich. Church property, human estimate, influence, schools, highly educated ministry, great people as members, compromising because they are members, don't make them uncomfortable. Increased with goods. Some years ago, there was a lawsuit in the papers. I never did know how it came out. The Catholic Church had a large vineyard farm in California from which they made their wine for their communion services, and they were selling it all over the country, but the government wanted to collect taxes off of them, and they didn't want to pay. I don't know how it came out. I'm for a church having a parsonage and a building, but for me to rent out a whole string of apartments and have all of this kind of property, no. I read that the Catholic Church aim in America is to be next to the federal government in its collections. There are not too many institutions in America that exceed them now. But then, I'm not just throwing clubs at them, look at the other denominations. Knowest not that thou art wretched, enduring severe effort and hardship, miserable and afflicted. Miserable means pitiable, wretched and miserable. Poor means reduced to beggary, a mendicant, indigent to crouch as a beggar cringing, denoting a public mendicant, blind, opaque, as if smoky, eyes full of buildings, organs, trained and robed choirs. Buy of me. In Isaiah 55, the Lord said, come ye without money and without price. Gold. Divine life, hence divine glory, rather, hence life. White raiment, rich robes rather than the black wool of Laodicea. Laodicea was rich because of much of this. Eye salve instead of your famous eye powder. As many as I love, I rebuke. Jesus said, where two or three are gathered together, there am I in the midst. Here, he said, I stand and knock on the outside. To him that overcometh, will I grant to sit with me in my throne. I don't forget this, that only thrones and crowns, I mean only people have thrones and crowns offered to them and not angels. Because we'll be getting into this in the fourth and fifth chapters. His patience, he sat at God's right hand all down through this time until his enemies be made his footstool. I told you this was named for Laodicea, the wife of Antiochus II. And there was a hot springs in Hierapolis, a hot spring. Laodicea had a cold spring. And it is said by some that one was piped to the other. I mentioned the eye powder, the Phrygian powder that was used here. Famous also for certain wood that it produced. It became wealthy. But the people here imbibed this and threw off the things of the Lord. And I stand at the door and knock indicates on the outside. You've seen the famous picture and heard the famous question. There was no latch on the door and no string to pull as in old-fashioned doors. And somebody asked the artist why they painted it. And he said, the latch is always on the inside. And so this, think of this, spewed out, it reaches to the end. Sardis reaches to the end, a name that thou livest and art dead. Thyatira reaches to the end, those that keep my works to the end. Philadelphia reaches to the end. Here are conditions in Christendom that will exist until Jesus comes.